The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's time for our weekly medical consultation with Dr. Ray Whalley. There are two things that I want to talk to him about. I want to talk about blood pressure and also the benefits or no benefits of dietary supplements. Let's start with the blood pressure. High blood pressure, low blood pressure. Before we get to high or low, just what is blood pressure and why is it important?
Okay, blood pressure is the pressure that pushes your blood around your arteries. Arteries are the blood vessels that go from your heart outwards with oxygenated blood. Veins are the ones that bring it back. So you need a certain pressure going through your body to push that out. And we know that there's a certain blood pressure that we aim for, which is 120 over 80 or so. And then there are targets which
we say... So is that an absolute, the 120 over 80? Is that what everybody should be? Or is it just somewhat in and around that level?
In and around that level, like basically in the majority of Western worlds, like, you know, we have international classifications which are set by the US and set by the UK. And the American classification of high blood pressure is a little bit more basically tight. It's written by an Irish cardiologist, actually. And the UK ones are slightly less tight. But in and around, we're talking about, you know, normal blood pressure is 120 over 80. Now, slightly higher than that is classified as high blood pressure. So we can go into those figures if you want.
And we'll go into it in a second. But when you say 120 over 80, I mean, what is the fraction? What are the things being measured?
You're talking about the opening of the valves in the heart and the closing of the valves.
But the 120 refers to what and the 80 refers to what?
It basically, the pressure is, the heart is opened up and the blood is flowing out. And basically when the valve closes again, the, you know, sort of, it's not the fact that it doesn't continue going out, but it's basically
the breath in, breath out almost, isn't it?
Yeah, that type of thing. Like, you know, most people are having roughly about 70 to 80 heartbeats. There's a blood pressure with that.
Okay. High blood pressure, low blood pressure. The one I suppose you hear least often is low blood pressure. What is that and why could that be a problem?
Well, in some jurisdictions, they will refer to low blood pressure a lot. Basically, you know, you can have a lowish blood pressure. If you're a person with a lowish blood pressure, that's something that's good in your interest, because it means you're probably going to have a longer life than certainly somebody with high blood pressure. So basically, we do have definite criteria for defining what is high blood pressure. So... And again, we allow a slightly higher level for somebody over 80. So below 135 and 85 for people aged under 80. Below 145, 85 for people aged over 80. Why? Because when we are actually older and you're on blood pressure and you've got hardening in the arteries and you've got certain reflexes that don't work, basically we allow a little bit more because you are more prone to what is called postural hypotension. So when you bend your head or move your head, your body tells you you're doing that and it accommodates that. But unfortunately, as you get older, being on tablets and age and other factors, the accommodation doesn't occur as quickly. So we try to run blood pressure a little higher.
Okay, so the low blood pressure, you could sort of topple over sort of thing, is it?
If you have very low blood pressure, but we're talking about 80 over 50, like, you know, the majority of people who have blood pressure like that are seriously sick and are going to hospital. But if you have 100 over 60, that's normal. Like, you know, in some jurisdictions, like, so in Germany, they tell you you have low blood pressure, they might start you on a tablet. We don't do that in the UK, Ireland and the US because we don't believe it's a specific
condition. Is there a problem that when you have maybe low blood pressure that you can sort of topple over sort of thing like that, that... a temporary thing, maybe because you're low on sugar or something like that in your diet? Can that happen? Or is that separate?
If you have lowish blood pressure and then you're not drinking enough liquids and then you're not basically maintaining your blood sugar, certainly that can augment the fact that your body is basically going to lay you flat. And how it does that is you have a hypotensive episode.
Now, the high blood pressure, what exactly does high blood pressure do to you? What does it make you more vulnerable to?
High blood pressure effectively causes hardening of the arteries. So, in fact, once upon a time we thought, and we're not definite of this, that as you get older, we are effectively going to have a hardening of the arteries. But there are studies that have been done in certain tribes that are not affected by the Western world, and they have been found to have normal blood pressure and throughout their life. And the it reflects the fact that the unfortunate nature of the Western diet is we eat a lot of processed food. And the problem with processed food, it has lots of salt. And it's why you'll see a big push in the Western world, including now being listened to by the big food suppliers, that we're cutting salt out of the diet. We're trying to reduce the salt in the diet because salt is definitely something that causes retention and a raising of the blood pressure. So if you end up going into your GP, in the old way, you go into your GP repeatedly. They take two readings, bring you back again, they take two more readings, and there'll be an average of maybe six readings or eight readings to diagnose it. Now, mainly developed in this country, we have what are called 24-hour blood pressure. You stick a machine on and you're sent away. You are now in your own environment, and basically you it comes back and it's stuck into a program, and it gives us a printout of what you've got. Such that, as opposed to somebody like me, believe it or not, I'm a medical practitioner, I have white coat hypertension. So when my blood pressure was taken by many medics, my blood pressure is quite high. But when I took it myself or used this machine, it was normal. There's no reason. I'm not nervous going to a medic. It's just a built-in phenomenon. And what we do know is that before we had the 24-hour blood pressures monitors, we had 20% of people were inaccurately diagnosed.
Well, that's what I was just going to go into, because I'm sure there's lots of us have had our blood pressure monitored, and you strap the thing on your upper arm and you get the thing pumped up, and then you get the measurement taken. And if it comes out okay, could it be that you need to be monitored over a longer period rather than those just one-off 30-second examinations?
A possibility. There was a study done in the US which looked at literally desktop readings by general practitioners. It looked at people doing their own monitors. If you have a monitor, it should be a CE standard, an EEC type of standard. And basically it found that the most accurate was the 24-hour BP.
If you do have a blood pressure issue, though, does that make you more vulnerable sort of heart attack, stroke, things like that?
Yes, definitely. Anybody who's having a heart attack from blood pressure at a young age, they've got other risk factors. Unfortunately, it is something which builds up over time. The majority of people who have high blood pressure are what are called idiopathic. We'll never know the cause. Then you have people who are familial, meaning there's a family history. But the other contributing factors, unfortunately, as we've talked about before, being overweight, drinking too much alcohol, not exercising, eating too much processed food, being a diabetic, there are lots of contributing factors.
Okay, let's move on to dietary supplements, because there's been a new report about the worthiness or the efficacy of dietary supplements, which apparently more than half of US supplements or adults take dietary supplements. I wonder how many in Ireland do it.
Well, there's actually a study there which shows that 90% of American adults do not eat enough fruits and vegetables, and 75% of them are taking dietary supplements of some kind. Some people don't actually recognise what is a dietary supplement, what is a vitamin tablet, even though they're thinking of them, because we have had lobby groups out there who tell you that these are foods. These are not foods. Now, the study that is recently out there was published in a peer-reviewed journal, the Annals of Medicine. It was published from Tufts University, one of the most eminent universities in the States, and it found two serious issues here. One, that if you eat foods or supplements, vitamins, that they do not make you live longer. But what is seen is that if you eat a good diet with proper nutritional content, fruit and vegetables, you basically will live as long as you're going to be allowed to by your genes.
Yeah, but hold on. I think isn't the issue for many people, a lot of people are now going through a thing of cutting various things out of their diet. I would be very strict on various things that I have cut out of my diet over a number of years, and again more recently in recent months, things like dairy, bread, red meat now, things like that. Do I not need to take tablets with vitamin supplements to compensate for what I'm not getting from those foods that I've cut out of my diet?
Well, there's a couple of questions there. Most studies show when you take these vitamins and supplements in, they're actually excreted nearly whole out in your excretion, be it your urine or be it your feces. So even if you're taking them, a lot of them are coming out in full contents. Most things are available in the vegetable and the fruit kingdom. Depending on what your attitude in regard to being a vegan or being a meat person, I think the Dutch were the only ones who were brave enough to make a comment in regard to this. You should probably not eat meat more than once a week. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of abuse in regard to that.
Is that red meat or white meat?
Red meat and obviously white meat. Like basically, it could be turkey, chicken, pork. And there's very little fat in pork. It could be beef. It could be mince. Other things important from this study is what was found, that people who have vitamin D deficiency and people who have calcium deficiencies, when replaced appropriately, will not have any increased problems. But
when you say replaced appropriately, is that by multivitamins or specific vitamins?
Good point. In those cases where they're not already getting it by sunshine or by a diet, in those cases where there may be another medical reason why they have a low calcium or low vitamin D, we then use supplements or vitamin D. And they are people who live the standard length of time. But what has been found is those who do not have those deficiencies, who then take vitamin D or calcium supplementation, in fact have a higher incidence of cancer. So The point out of this is, if you are on these supplements and they are not prescribed by your GP, who hasn't given you a reason to be on them, you need to discuss this with your GP. And if you've been getting them from food shops, you need to discuss that with your GP.
Because a lot of people self-medicate, don't they? They sort of go in and they think, oh, I could do with a bit of vitamin A or a bit of vitamin D. I mean, without any real knowledge of why they're doing it. And they spend a small fortune buying all of these things and popping pills on a regular basis in addition to whatever food they're eating.
Well, the difficulty is that, you know, to date, some of these supplement industries wanted them classified as foods. And that was for a tax basis. They're not foods. They equally don't want them to be classified as medicines, even though they interact with medicines. What we've got to remember is 1 in 8 admissions to hospitals are actually due to interactions between medications. If you're on a supplementation, that's a medication. We are not looking at this either in this part of the pond in Ireland or on the other side of the pond in the US in regard to the potential interactions between supplements and vitamins that you shouldn't be on. And now what is happening in the US, the food, the FDA, who are the enforcer in regard to medications, are now looking at the overuse of vitamins and supplements, and our own Food Safety Authority need to be doing it as well.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ray Wally, for our weekly medical consultation.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.